Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome to Whiskey Congress. We are here in studio. We're off to a great start already. Wow.
It's my first drink of the day.
Yes, first. Well earned one, I'm sure. So anyway, thanks for joining us. I would love to talk about something other than North Korea, but I don't know how we can.
Well, I mean, especially, I mean, we're recording on Sunday, and we found out early today that North Korea successfully tested a hydrogen bomb, which a hydrogen bomb is a very, very devastating device.
It's more powerful than a plutonium bomb.
Right. And that's, now, I haven't seen any images. I haven't seen anything from it. So and it's hard to say. I mean, part of my concern with North Korea is that they can say they've done anything, right? They can say that they found Godzilla. But we it's hard for us to verify, and so.
But apparently, there was a seismic event equivalent to a nuclear bomb in the area. They said, okay. So something really big went bang.
Right, and I heard it. I've been busy the last couple of days, so I didn't look into it too much. But I do know that and so now the issue is, all right. So they've successfully set off a hydrogen bomb. Do they have another one? And what is our response to this? And, Trump's response to this point has been, more of the tough talk that North Korea only understands one thing. But, he is meeting with, his different heads of different military departments and trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with them. He mentioned something on Twitter that they're considering not doing business with any country that trades with North Korea. While that's kind of what I've said, the last time we talked about this,
yeah.
I really think it's going to be cutting down anything coming in and out of North Korea. I know you think that's backing a desperate dog into a corner.
I do.
But we can't continue to do nothing. At some point in time, we need to pull them in line. And I think that you need to do it diplomatically, and I think that that's how you do it. You need to – it starts with sanctions, very severe sanctions, and then you prepare yourself for what they may do.
If I had a better answer, I would vehemently disagree with you, but I don't. It's very complicated. I do think it's dangerous to have someone who is not all there or may not be all there.
But there's nothing – but the guy's crazy, so there's nothing that's not dangerous.
Right.
If we sit there and do nothing, that's dangerous. If we back him into a corner, that's dangerous.
Yeah,
we fire missiles at him, that's dangerous. So at some point, we have to say we need to do something unless we're all okay with the status quo. And we continue to let him do what he's doing, say, well, he's not hurting anybody. He's just stamping his feet and throwing a temper tantrum. So what's the harm in it? What's been done to this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, if I had a better strategy to throw back at you, I'd do it. I just don't. You're dealing with a very unstable situation. Well, what I'm describing, when I say I think it's dangerous, I do, but that doesn't mean that doing nothing is clearly not an option.
Well, is it though? I mean, because we really haven't done much of anything for the last, 12 years.
Let me throw something out
other
there.
Other than pretty aggressive sanctions.
Pretty hard.
Right. So he clearly gets, not hard enough.
He gets fatter and his population gets more and more malnourished. I mean, so that's what my point is. Cutting him off is essentially impossible. Because he's going to get stuff through black markets and whatever, and he's got all the wealth and all the power in the country, and the rest of the country is left to sort of fend for itself while he has people marching in the streets. The best possibility, and I have no faith that this is even a real possibility, but the best possibility is that there's an insurrection in their military where they just say, okay, this lunatic is going to get us all killed. We're going to seize power, put him in confinement, wave the white flag and say, let's talk South Korea. This has all been a badly.
It's all been a real long misunderstanding.
It's been a bad fraternity prank, and we'd like it to end. I mean, that's the best possible scenario. The likelihood of which is, I think, very small.
Right. There's not a lot that gets in to North Korea from a media internet standpoint. Although some does get in, and I was listening to I think NPR and the latest kind of defector from North Korea was someone who was, I want to say he was in the military and then defected and then was in the media. Or no, I'm sorry. He was in the military, did his time, had gone into the media, and the only reason he was able to defect was because he listened to a few programs that made it through the airwaves that showed him that there was an outside world different than
what his reality was, yeah.
Right? Than what they thought was the real world, and that allowed him to start to look at things in a different way, and then realize he needed to get out of there, and he eventually did. So,
but you do that at your own, at the risk of your life, right?
I mean, you do that at your own peril, and it's definitely worth it if you can get out. And then the question is, can you get back in to help save other people? You know, I mean, and that's the, you know, that's,
and do you want to? Do you think, check, I'm out? I mean,
yeah, I mean, but
I would hope so. I would hope you
family
would.
There,
yeah,
or something along those lines, right?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I would hope he would be, the frontline guy to say we need to get this right. I mean, we know Kim Jong-un's people had someone murdered in an airport, so we know he's willing to reach outside of his own country's borders. He shot his uncle, who he believed was being disloyal, with an anti-aircraft gun. Yeah. I mean, how fucked, not him personally, I'm sure he didn't shoot it, but still. So. But I mean, that's fucking crazy.
Right.
And I want to be careful. Whenever I think these things, I need to keep in mind that I'm getting my information from media outlets, but the whole world seems to be on board with this one.
Everybody seems to be on the same page that North Korea is fucked up, right? Like, I mean, I find it hard to believe that everything is hunky dory there.
I'm not suggesting that. I am saying though that I do try to keep my, my radar up for, okay, when they say he shot his uncle with an anti-aircraft gun, you know, when they're painting this guy as crazy. I believe it.
Even if he shot him with a 50 cal.
Yeah.
Still
not so bad.
Pretty awful.
No, I know. In this case, I guess I'm saying is always keep your ear to the ground. But in this one, I think we pretty much got it. For example, when we went into Iraq, there was all this stuff about Saddam Hussein has the world's largest pornography collection. Like, who gives a fuck? But we're spreading this information to. So I always try to be careful. But in this one, I really don't have a lot of doubt.
Either way, I mean, we know he's killed multiple people that he has believed or deemed to be disloyal. And so we know he's not all there. We know he's not stable. You would hope that something could happen from within. But the likelihood of that happening in reality, it's very slim because there's not a lot of information or media that gets to that country to get inside the minds and get people thinking that, wait a minute, there is a world outside of the world we live in that – you know, we need to break free of this. And do they have the capability to do it? What means do they really have?
Absolutely. I mean, and again, someone would need to be willing to risk their own life to take that chance.
You need a lot of people. A lot of people willing to risk their lives on both sides.
This would have to be like a Valkyrie. This would be a Valkyrie type thing. We know how that worked out.
Right. Right. I mean, so it's.
It's probably harder than that. If you know that was an attempted coup on Hitler in World War II.
I mean, definitely.
Tom Cruise with a bad patch on his eye.
It's a bad patch.
All right, that's a bad patch. So the patch on his eye for a bad movie. Actually, I've never seen the movie, to be honest with you. I saw a few minutes of it.
It wasn't. I think those are hard movies to do well.
Especially because you look like Tom Cruise in the movie, right? He's playing this character. It's like, dude, you're Ethan. Sorry, I watched you. Ethan, what's his... The Mission Impossible name is Ethan.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, he looked like Tom Cruise. He looked like Maverick with a patch over his eye. I couldn't take it seriously. I'm sorry. Total digression. What?
So actors can only be in one or two movies?
Tom Cruise can only be one or two movies. It's just that it just looked. I don't think German infiltrator, German plot leader, and see that. And hear the voice of Tom Cruise from Top Gun. And anyway, okay. I'm going off the rails.
I mean, in reality, they probably could have just got a German guy to do it, right?
Or that, or someone who, or yeah. Val Kilmer. He's available. Looks much more German.
Ugh, God,
I guarantee he's available.
I do too. Is he functioning? But anyway,
yeah.
So, back to like so wrapping up North Korea.
And let me say this: we should be using our intelligence people, which I'm sure we are, to find these things out and stoke the flames if we can. But it's got to be really fucking hard.
I think it's. I'm sure we're doing that. Listen, we've destabilized country after country. I'm sure they've tried. I mean, there are stories through back channels of, you know, our different operatives. They're saying that maybe the college kid that just came back with brain issues, maybe he was a foreign operative, or something like that. You know, there've been, you know, journalists and things like that. This is a journalist. It's like, oh, you're a journalist for Fox. Weird. I've never seen you do anything for them before. So you have to wonder if they've done it. The people have been caught and either murdered, kidnapped, or we got them back or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that.
But that that better be happening behind the scenes. Though,
right. I mean, we've cooked other countries before from the inside. We've literally watched them fall. And then we say we're going to put in a viable leader, and
we don't always disagree to that part.
Yeah, that's where we have trouble. But we can definitely topple a country internally. The question is, you know, how do you do it in a situation like this in North Korea, where the bird that flew over the cuckoo's nest is so almost impossible to get to them.
The only thing I can say is, if you were able to get the leadership temporarily changed and get food in to the deserted masses, you start bringing people food and telling them they have a chance to fix their own lives, and your ability to get them to follow you is dramatically increased.
Right. Well, I know. I tend to follow people who give me food. So.
Yeah.
So moving on, coming back stateside, Houston, Hurricane Harvey, devastating. It's the one thing that, you know, although, you know, media and, you know, the administration are politicizing it, fortunately the good of people, you know, kind of shines through in these moments. And so there's a lot of good stories coming out that are louder than the noise of politics in this particular situation, because you're having so many people impacted. You know, this storm's worse than Katrina. There's so much more water. There's damage to everybody. It's not just poor neighborhoods.
Right.
It's just not black neighborhoods or Latino. It was indiscriminate.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest destruction. Right. The big difference is this was 2 feet of rain over a massive area. Katrina, people sometimes forget that the storm didn't do a ton of damage until the levees failed. Right. And the levees failed only in the places, the failure of the levees only really hurt the places that were below sea level, which was mostly Ninth Ward and the poor areas.
Yeah,
so.
And this is a little bit different. Houston is a weird place in terms of where their zoning is set up. They don't really have zoning laws in Houston. And so
it's freedom, Steve.
Well, it is, and as a person who works in real estate development, zoning laws are annoying as fuck, especially the way that sometimes they're just they're overemphasized and applied and things like that. But in this particular instance, you know, Houston doesn't have zoning laws, or whatever zoning laws they have are far and few between. So you don't have a lot of impervious material like concrete all over the place. There's nowhere for the water to actually drain into the sewer system except for a few points along the way.
It's really low towards sea level also.
Right. So. It's below sea level. There's not a ton of grass. It's right there.
Yep.
You know, there's not a ton of grass. You know, you have a ton of buildings and just, you know, all this landscape, but there's, again, nowhere for the water to drain. And so the water couldn't go anywhere, had to stay above ground, and that's why it rose so much. Now, and it was a ton of rain, right? Yeah. I mean, it was just a massive amount of rain. Once in 500 years, you can't prepare for it.
24 inches of rain is roughly the annual rainfall for is the annual average rainfall for Houston.
Right.
This was that in a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, there was nowhere for it to go. And maybe, I mean, even if you did have a proper setup with sewers and, you know, pervious
drainage
and everything else, you're still going to have a hell of a time dealing with all that water. So, the water in the storm was very indiscriminate in terms of the people that were impacted by it. And so you're seeing people from all, every time you see a shot, you know, it's white, it's black, it's Latino, men, women, gay, straight, whatever. You don't even know. It doesn't even matter. It's people helping people. You know, right. there are shots of, you know, probably, you know, 100 trucks, and all the trucks had boats attached because there were people from outside of Houston going into Houston to take their boats in to help people, to get people to safety. You know, you have what J.J. Watt for the Houston Texans. You know, he's raised over $17 million since this all started. You know, he got called out by Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart called out pretty much every entertainer that he knew or has any sort of relationship, you know, to raise $1 million. And, you know, J.J. Watt is Captain Extreme, so everything he does to the extreme, including raising money for this disaster. And not only is he raising money and not just doing a photo op, but his organization, like, they are mobilized better than even, like, FEMA or the Red Cross. Like, it's not like, all right, let's spend all this money on water.
Right.
Like, they're actually, you know, setting up different camps and, you know, whether it's medical or it is clean water or it is, you know, helping people get their homes cleaned out. Like, whatever the people need, they're actually using the money and applying it in a way that's going to help people and help sort of minimize the damage, right? You can't necessarily right. do that because it's so devastating, but that's the, I guess, the beauty of this is that you see the good in people. You know, I mean, even, you know, I talked about this on social media. You know, I was trying to figure out, all right, what can I do to have a positive impact? And I ended up, I donated like 30,000 of my Southwest Frequent Flyer miles to volunteers so that they could fly to Houston and help. And then it went to Volunteer Hands or the Volunteer Network or something like that. But it went to an organization where, you know, they're sending people down there to help. And 30,000 miles, maybe that's a round trip flight or right. half a flight or whatever. But the point is that you do what you can to help. And so that's, to me, before we get into what I know the aspect you want to get into, I just want to make it clear that there's, you know, if you just watch the news and the media, you're going to hear a lot of the politics, but there's a lot of good going on behind the scenes, even though it's a really shitty situation.
Yeah. And so then you said, I agree with you. It's good that a lot of this has remained apolitical. Excuse me. I saw the, there's two things. Trump showing up a couple days late, I have no problem with. I think that's just realistically, a president can't just pop it in a place
okay,
like
before
that.
Can we talk about how people were comparing Trump to Obama and Trump and Harvey and Obama and Katrina? And
sure, like, we can talk about that.
I mean, if you don't understand that, then here's the issue. Obama wasn't the president during Katrina, okay? And that's
he did
where
cause
people,
it by using his attempt to bring Sharia law to the country while not being born in America and sending emails to Hillary while he
right.
Sorry.
There was so much of that going on. Like
Obama golfed during Katrina,
and it wasn't just like I mean that wasn't fake news. I heard people saying it. You know, a girl that I work with is just like, you know, people are calling out Trump for not being there. When did Obama go to Katrina? And I'm like, why would he have gone? He was a senator in Illinois. And she, yeah. like, the girl looked at me like, I was like, he was a senator in Illinois. She was like, he's the president. I'm like, no, he, at that point in time, when Katrina happened in 2005, he was still a senator in Illinois.
It is amazing.
It blows my mind how people are
truthfully,
fucking stupid.
It is amazing. I told you about my experience in my hotel a couple weeks ago where a guy was telling me that they're going to take Abraham Lincoln off of our money. He was a slave owner. I think you mean Andrew Jackson. We'll see, buddy. Like, wow.
Okay.
and that guy is not hard to find.
Right. No, unfortunately, there's a lot of that.
Obama
guy
golfed during
and
Katrina.
That girl.
And by the way, Obama did have a disaster. It was Superstorm Sandy, which was kind of similar to this storm in the sense that it was a major urban area just getting deluged with water. This wasn't so much rainfall as a seawall breaking.
That was on the East Coast.
Right.
It was a place that wasn't used to this sort of thing. It was a completely different situation. And, you know, Obama went there. Do you remember Chris Christie
Obama
hugging was, Obama?
I do.
Okay.
It was right before the 2012 election.
Right.
And a lot of Republicans were mad at Chris Christie for embracing the enemy. And Chris Christie, to his credit, said, I'm here to do what's best for my people, my constituents. And if I need the president to help me do that, I'm going to embrace him immediately. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Right.
But he said he needed federal help And when it came, he was happy to embrace it literally and figuratively.
Right. And you know, I mean, and now since then, Chris Christie has gone the way.
He's backtracked a little bit.
Right. But still, I mean,
when it was going on.
Watch the tape. Yeah. Watch the tape. You know, it is what it is. But Obama handled it. And now listen, this is being I don't think this is being handled poorly.
I don't either.
This is something you can't prepare for this shit. Right. When with nature and like you can't prepare for a storm that we've never seen before. OK, correct. I mean, we just haven't seen it. Trump should have been there at this.
No, that's not what I said.
No. Okay. I know. I'm just saying in general, you know, people, you know, Democrats, liberals, progressive, you know, people complaining. Oh, well, I can't believe Trump wasn't there on this day. You know, that shit doesn't fucking matter when he's there.
Right.
Right, I mean, like
it matters. It matters
like
the federal government starts doing its job as quickly as possible.
It needs to be safe for him to go there. Mm-hmm. You don't want the president. Like, listen, I may not like the president of the United States, but I don't need him going there when it's dangerous for him to be there, and then something bad happening to him. Because I've said this before: as much as we don't like him, this country can't afford to have the president of the United States, you know, die or get assassinated or something along those lines. Or get horribly injured or have a helicopter go down. Like, come on, people.
He's a 70-something-year-old man. He can't exactly, you know, jump on a boat and start, you know,
right. I mean, he's not going to be, personally. You know, he's not going to be like Harry Connick Jr., you know, walking down. Like, I remember he had the wading suit on. Do you remember this?
Oh, I do remember.
Harry Connick Jr., like, he was down in Louisiana when Katrina happened, and he had on a suit, like a rubber,
yeah,
like.
Chest waders, yeah.
Yeah, chest waders. And he was just walking down the street. And he saw a woman, and he literally, like, threw her over his shoulder and carried her. He carried her to, like, dry land. And he was doing that all throughout New Orleans when Katrina struck, because that's his hometown. But the point is, Trump's not going to be doing that because he can't. We don't want him to. Again, he's the president. And he needs to be there when it's safe for him to be there. He needs to be there so he can comfort the people that need comforting right now when, you know, they've lost their homes, they've lost their possessions. You know, 75% of the people there didn't have flood insurance. So, you know, they're going to have to deal with this stuff on their own. Even if they get money from FEMA, you have to pay that money back.
And there's going to be a big chunk of people who just foreclose on places and walk away because
right. And here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. A lot of those people are from New Orleans. They're right. Transplants from Katrina. Right? So a lot of those people are probably moving to fucking Canada. You know,
yeah.
You know what? Fuck it.
Manitoba sounds pretty good to me right,
right.
now.
Right. Hey, I'm not cold. Fuck it. Not doing it again. So, you know, that's the reality of it. But I mean, again, there's still the politics.
All right. So, again, I have no problem with his actions thus far. There's nothing other than when he did show up and said, "What a great crowd." He's fucking doing a campaign rally at a disaster site. I mean, look, I'm even going to not harp on it. It just baffles me.
Listen,
that you could have that much of a lack of awareness.
At this point in time, we know who and what he is. We know who and what he's not.
Okay.
And so I think you know what you're getting into with him, and he's going to only inspire his base, right? That you know, 15% of the country that voted for him, that's who he's going to target. That's who he's going to inspire. He's not trying to reach anyone else beyond that base.
You're correct. And here's why I'm going to keep saying stuff, though. Because if we ever accept this level of dumb from the president without criticizing it, if we allow this to become, well, we're not surprised anymore because he's done it before. He's going to do it again. If we accept that, we have failed as a populace.
I agree. I agree. And so for me, that's your job. You have to do that for us because I am tired of it. I know what to expect. For me, it's just kind of like a standard. Like on Twitter, you can pin a tweet. Like I'm pinning the tweet that, listen, the guy's an idiot. He's a narcissist. He is not a great public speaker,
terrible,
all these sort of things. It's a pinned tweet at the top of the profile. Keep scrolling. There's other shit to see, you know. But right. I mean, you feel
so,
free
so
to
I
attack
will,
as
I,
needed.
I will feel free. And speaking of attacking as needed, so someone I guess came out, some pastor in Colorado came out and said that did the typical right wing, this is God's punishment for something involving gay people. In this case, he said that it was God's punishment for Houston being, well, Houston's previous mayor was a woman who I think is openly gay. I don't know that for sure, but I think it's at least been said about her. So Ann Coulter comes out and said something to the effect of, I don't believe that Houston's problem is a result of punishment from God for electing a gay mayor. I believe, but I do believe that's more likely than, quote, climate change. Ann, shut the fuck up. It's just, I'm sorry, that's all I got. Ann, shut the fuck up. Okay. You has been.
Here's the deal. One, she's not a has-been because people keep currently putting a microphone in front of her face.
Okay, well.
So,
no, I mean, this is a tweet. This okay, is a tweet whatever, that then got covered. Okay.
She still writes books and people still buy them in mass. Here's my other issue is that if you're going to tell her to shut the fuck up, then you have to tell the people on the left to shut the fuck up who keep saying that this is Texas punishment for voting for Trump.
I have not heard anyone say that.
Okay, you're not looking. It's not okay, hard.
I'm, well,
you found that. You found Ann Coulter's statement on Twitter. Go to Twitter. You can do it right now in probably about 30 seconds.
I'm sure you can find it. Are there any celebrities or anyone of any note saying that?
Pretty sure Lena Dunham. I don't even know that for a fact, but I'm just go to Lena Dunham, and I'm sure she said something along the lines that's just that idiotic.
Whoever is saying that, I'm sure there are people who are saying it to be snarky, to be like, hey, here's your punishment. That's not necessarily the right move at this time. Let's get the.
Oh my god, bro! What are you doing?
I'm being serious.
If you're gonna tell Ann Coulter to shut the fuck up,
which I did, and I will,
for making a shitty snarky comment, tell the fucking other people to do the same thing.
Because I don't think Ann Coulter is making a snarky comment. I think Ann Coulter is further dismissing climate change.
Okay.
Which this
I think there are certain people on the left who are saying this is Texas punishment for voting for Trump.
Most of them are atheists who don't believe that there's a God who could do that though. So.
Okay. Either way.
All right, look.
The point is that here's the thing. You want to attack Ann Coulter because you don't like her, right? And then you want to give these people a pass.
But I don't think it's the same thing. I don't think it's the same thing.
Whether you think it's the same, it doesn't matter. It is.
No, it's not.
Words are words. Yes, it is. Okay. It's the same thing, right? Lena Dunham says it on Twitter. Right. Ann Coulter says it on Twitter. How's it different?
If Lena Dunham said it, shut the fuck up, Lena Dunham. If someone who is trying to make a joke says it and says it badly, shut the fuck up too. Fine, yes. They should shut the fuck up. But give me someone with any kind of a platform who said that, and I will tell them specifically to shut the fuck up. I just don't know of any, and I do know that the longer we keep denying climate change, the worse off we're going to be. We keep burying our head in the sand, and...
Well, first of all, listen. Let me tell you this. This storm that had the magnitude and devastation on levels that we haven't seen to this point, most likely, I'm sure... Climate change has something to do with it.
It plays a role. It's not the whole thing.
I don't care if your head is 6 feet in the clouds, 6 feet under the ground, or you're level-headed, or you work for NASA, or you work with fucking Bill Nye the Science Guy. The fuck is that going to matter? Right? If that's just, think about it. Right? Like, I could sit here and say, Jim, I agree with you on climate change, and I'm going to drive a Prius. And I'm gonna recycle.
You're okay.
All I'm saying is that type of storm. If that's think about it. All I'm saying. Listen, we need to do what we can to preserve.
We have to deal with the now because we're in the now. Now, right? Get that.
All I'm saying is though, if that like that's what Mother Nature is capable of, and that's probably only the tip of the iceberg, right? Like. Bro, we can sit here and talk about climate change and we can debate it back and forth and we can all accept it. But at the end of the day, if Mother Nature wants to drop the fucking hammer, she's going to drop the hammer.
Well, like when she drops the hammer...
Like, Ann Coulter denying it or not isn't going to stop that shit from happening.
No, but half the population denying it and not embracing the things to try to make it better does.
No, it doesn't. If we all embrace climate change today, every one of us on the planet, every single one of us today...
Right.
we even shut down China and their coal and everything. Right. I'm just saying.
All right, go on.
Okay, if we did all of that shit today, another storm like that could hit next year, right?
But here's could it? Yes. But here's why that argument drives me nuts. We've had a storm of the century most of the last 20 years or 10 years. Mm-hmm. It can't be a storm of the century then. Right? If it's happening every year, it ain't the storm of the century.
Well, but they continue to get bigger.
Exactly. And it's because, in large part, it gets worse because when you're dealing with hurricanes, if you increase the surface temperature of the ocean, you make these things worse. A 2-degree increase in the temperature of that water over that surface area puts that much more water in the air, and it's got to go somewhere when it gets on the land, and it goes down in this case on Houston. I'm not saying.
I understand, okay. And I agree, and I understand with you on the science.
All right,
but we need a fundamental shift, in the way the world views this, right? Who the fuck cares about Ann Coulter and blah blah blah? Now, I guess the problem is that you have a lot of people who listen to her and take her word as gospel.
Exactly, right? And they use that to deny reality, and then they don't do their duty as citizens and elect people who say, look, here's a snowball. Yes, I'm bringing that asshole up again. Here's a snowball. I'm in Congress. Global warming's a fake because I've got a snowball with me.
That's one of the most bizarre things. I'm like, how are you even? I don't understand the connection. I don't get it, but okay.
Yeah, but you're talking about me bringing it up?
No. Okay. Him, that guy bringing it. Like, what?
The fact that no one yanked it out of his hand and pelted him with it still bothers me. But anyway, so that's why I harp on this, because I do believe we need to accept that global warming / climate change will continue to get worse, will continue to hurt us more. All right.
I totally agree with you. I'm still definitely going to buy a new truck in October. But
fair enough. All right.
Big ol' Hemi.
Okay. Would you like to get off the Houston topics for the moment?
Yes.
All right. So I do something that occasionally bugs the shit out of you. Listen to right-wing radio. Mm. And
not true.
Okay.
Not true. I told you a long time ago to start listening to it, so we understood.
I did.
Right. So it just what
you directed me to the Patriot Channel. That's your contribution.
Right. And I directed you to the Patriot Channel so you could hear the other side. But then you get so worked up, I'm just afraid that you're gonna have a stroke on me one day.
Thank you for your concern for my health.
It's fair.
I appreciate it. So I've been listening to a fair bit, and if your only source of information was Patriot Channel, right-wing radio, you would be under the impression that Antifa had agents marching through the streets of every suburban neighborhood looking for microaggressions from the right to attack them with bicycle locks or locks on the end of bicycle chains. I haven't seen that.
Well, let's. All right. So that's a little bit of hyperbole, but
a lot of. All right.
Well, let's break out what you're actually saying. I listened to a guy who Sean Hannity was out for the holiday weekend, and he had a guy in his place, and I was driving, so I couldn't, do anything to vet him. I don't remember his name, but he didn't take any calls, but he had David Horowitz.
Okay.
Do you know who David Horowitz is?
I do.
Like, he's extreme white or extreme right guy.
Slip over the tongue.
But I mean, he's very like he's Jewish, but he's very anti everything.
He's very conspiracy theory.
Yeah, crazy conspiracy theory. But he had all these people on he was talking about was Antifa, right? But this guy has on David Horowitz, and David Horowitz says, and I wish I could have like recorded it or something, but he says that the KKK and white supremacists aren't hate groups. He says what they are oppressed groups. They are groups that have been marginalized. They can't even bring their head up to use free speech and take advantage of the First Amendment because they've been so demonized that it's a crime, that they've been demonized to the point that they have, and that really it's the progressive left, Antifa, Black Lives Matter,
sure.
And anyone who looks to oppress white supremacists and Nazis and KKK, and he said that's what he said. He said that the white supremacists, Nazis, members of the KKK are marginalized, oppressed groups who can't bring their head up because of groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and that Black Lives Matter, Antifa, those are the criminals. Those are the ones who shouldn't be allowed to speak. And then the guy sort of like cut him off because they were running out of time and had to go into a break.
So I've got a bit of a conspiracy theory to throw at you. I don't know that I believe Antifa really exists as what it claims to be. I'm not convinced it's not a right-wing instigator group providing a boogeyman for counter. I'm speculating or pulling something weird out of the air, but
I'm not far off from that myself.
Really? I thought you were going to call me a kook.
No. A what?
Kook.
Oh. I thought you said a coon.
No, I didn't think you were going to call me.
Either way.
Okay.
We're good. Hey. So, I was home with my family. Anyway, so I'm not, I don't know how far off base you are. I think here's the problem. I think Antifa is a collection of a lot of different things, right? A lot of different groups and a lot of different entities who believe in a lot of different things, whether it's the rights of Black people or the rights of gays and transgender, the rights of women. I think Antifa is an umbrella that encompasses all of that. And I think that Antifa is the enforcer side/wing of the left. Now, the left, for the most part, they're not exactly your toughest hombres. Right. Like, I mean, it's generally people who don't believe in fighting. I mean, like, you're a bit of an anomaly because you're a big Second Amendment right guy and the guns and whatever. But a lot of people on the left aren't.
Right.
Aren't your rock 'em sock 'em knock 'em out type.
Put on the political sign and march and chant and whatever.
Right. But they're not.
But they're not going to go confrontational.
Right. They're not, you know, they're not your tough guys. And so. I think what we're seeing is a little bit of what you're saying. I think some of it is staged. It's, you know, Antifa goes out and they do dress in all black and they wear masks and they try to be intimidating, although it's not. They look like bad guys from a Ninja Turtle movie. They're definitely there, I believe, to intimidate. And I think that they push right up to the line and... Where your conspiracy theory comes in, I think that's where the right takes advantage and they may plant people to mix in with the group to push things over the line. Or you just have some people that call themselves Antifa that are legit, right, and that just go over the line and go too far and, you know, cause damage to property and physically assault people.
And you brought up the whole, you know, some people just want to watch the world burn mentality.
Yep.
Maybe that person exists too. And if this is an opportunity to anonymously create anarchy, thank you for trying to bail me out, but I was too far down. You know, if those people want to do their thing, then they're nihilists. They believe in nothing, Lebowski. And anyway, it's funny to me how right-wing media is playing them up as the ultimate boogeyman. And what I think is really interesting is people who are supposedly anti-fascism choose to wear masks and be discreet and be anonymous. I don't know. I'm fairly comfortable standing up and saying I'm anti-Nazi. I'm anti-fascist. I don't feel the need to hide myself. We got these KKK clowns and these white supremacy clowns going around face in the open, and lots of them have suffered personal and professional repercussions for walking around, you know, at these white pride rallies, or whatever you want to euphemize them to. And how crazy is that? So I'm willing, you know, not me, but these white guys are willing to walk the streets with tiki torches looking like complete clowns. Like, you walking down the street with a tiki torch. Now, I know the torch that actually stays on fire, like, doesn't last that long. It's not like in the movies. So this it was a practical choice and readily available at Home Depot for $19.99. But, you know, they were not. They probably will start, hopefully, becoming afraid to show their faces again. But they weren't. And they were willing to stand up for that disgusting principle. Yet these guys were supposedly standing for anti-fascism are hiding. That's why I'm very suspicious that they're a shadow organization. I have another. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
My other thought for you, and I'll ask this as a question. How much of the people in these white supremacy, you know, Unite the Right rallies do you think are just essentially doing cosplay or LARPing? Just literally, hey, this is fun, let's go do this.
I don't think many.
See, I think a lot. I think a big chunk of that is that that's the case. And I don't mean that to sound like an excuse or, hey, it's not so bad. I think that mentality actually is in a way scarier because those people are so easily led. And it's so much easier to bring up a, if you're telling a, you know, 25-year-old marginally employed white guy, hey, we need to start a revolution. We're going to go down there and, you know, it could get ugly, but we need to do this to protect the, you know, our country from those who try to take it from us. Versus, hey, man, let's go do this. It'll be fun. We'll get to trigger some liberals. Afterwards, we'll go get drunk and we'll get laid because all these chicks love it. Recruiting people to option B is a lot easier.
That's not how they recruit.
Look, I'm not saying there aren't people who are hardcore.
Listen, I mean, you go to these sites. There's, and the people fought like these sites, those groups that were on the banner, how they recruit. You go to Reddit. You go to the dark web where these groups exist and manifest. There is no beating around the bush what they're there to do. We're just doing this for shits and giggles, and we'll get beers, we'll get laid. No, this is, we're going to start a revolution. We're going to, you know, protest, you know, the people that are trying to take everything from us. Like, you're way off base. Okay. What I'm saying.
Well, let me go from a bit of a personal experience. I've seen people on Facebook that I know well who are spouting the same bullshit. And I'm not saying they're not racist and I'm not saying they're not ignorant, but I know that they have not put nearly as much thought into this. Like, one person in particular was defending, you know, these neo-Nazi organizations. And I know his grandfather fought in World War II against the Nazis. It's one of the things he brags about the most as a kid.
Listen, I don't care that these people don't understand the arguments that they're making.
Or that they're following.
Right. Either way, like, you decide that you're going to fly to Charlottesville, Virginia from fucking Cleveland or Buffalo or Columbus or West Virginia, wherever the fuck you've
been. Right.
Right. I mean, if you decide that you're going to hop on a plane or you're going to drive or you're going to take a bus, right, to Charlottesville, Virginia and take a tiki torch and march in the streets, it's not because you're going, because you think you're going to get laid after. Right. I mean, you're not going there just to be a part of the group. Like, come on. Right. I get that people are naive, but
I'm not necessarily talking about the people who actually make the trip. I'm talking about the people who do things locally or join. I guess they're joining this argument, the whole white guy victim argument, and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And I think some of them are willing to call themselves part of this because I guess I did say, all right, I was talking about live action role play. So I talked about physically going there. Correct. I did say that. And I just, maybe again, to me, what I'm saying is not
they may
a
not
defense.
Have, they may not
it's
have,
actually, like I said, more scary.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't have well thought out arguments, well thought out, you know, there's a lot of people like that on both sides who don't really understand the dynamics of it, right? Like they just fall in line. That's the biggest problem is that you have so many followers, so many people who are willing, like, the number one biggest issue driving so many of our problems today, and I will stand behind this, is social media. The fact that I can take a picture of you and put words on this guy, leader of the, you know, Unite the Right movement, is, you know, the problem, right? And I could send that out to left-wing people. They would look at it, believe it, wouldn't investigate it for shit, and believe that you are the leader and the person who put all of that shit in Charlottesville together, right? And they would come after you and they would attack you. And the people on the right can do the exact same thing, right? They could take a picture of, you know, fucking Marty from the VIP down the street and say that he is, you know, the second richest guy behind George Soros funding Antifa, right? And conservative white people would be pissed beyond belief and going after Marty from the VIP down the street. You know, I mean, because you, if you put words, you know, on a picture and put it on Facebook, then it must be true.
And I guess a complete counter to my theory, or the theory that I'm about to tear down, is a lot of this is fueled by making middle class, lower middle class, sometimes upper or wealthy white people feel like victims. And when people feel like victims, they are acting on their actual emotion, not.
Right.
And so, I just beat up my own argument. I'm
right.
Just
exactly. I mean, and that's exactly it, though. I mean, and it's how they're doing it. Right. I mean, they're taking, you know, how we like think about how we market the show. Right, how we use social media to market the show through Facebook and Twitter, where you can find us at WhiskeyCongress.com, on Instagram at WhiskeyCongress, you know, face all that stuff. They're using, you know, they, whoever they is, whether it's the alt-right or the far-left, progressive, Antifa, white supremacist, whatever it is, they're using those things, and they're saying, okay, what do people respond to the most? And they put it out there on social media. And it doesn't necessarily have to be true. It just, what has to be true is the fact that people respond to it.
Right.
Right. And people are saying it's communist, it's Russia, you know, and a lot of it goes back to the communism in Russia. Right. Like, so now the progressives, or now the people on the right, the guy who's filling in for Hannity was saying that Black Lives Matter, they're all communist and they're all feeding off of communism. And that it's actually they're following Putin's desires and wishes. And so the Russian investigation should really be directed at Black Lives Matter and Russia, because they're the ones who are trying to tear down the country.
I'm hoping you were making...
Not. He had another guy on who could connect the dots between...
Oh, dear God.
Between Black Lives Matter, Russia, and the Muslim Brotherhood. And also saying
Antifa had to be there too.
And also saying that Hitler had ties to the Muslim Brotherhood because the Muslims hate the Jews, and so they had a joint. They had like a shit. It was fucking crazy. It was
wow.
I was driving and I almost drove off the road multiple times because this guy, the Horowitz and the other guy, like they got out there. I mean, it was like
Hitler
and
the Muslim Brotherhood.
Remarkable,
which didn't exist, but but
that's
okay at the same time,
part of the problem.
But you know what? That's not even the biggest part. I mean, oh my goodness!
Yeah,
I wish you'd have called me with this going on.
I couldn't. I was so into it, like, whoa. Yeah, like I couldn't even. My head almost exploded because there was just so much craziness going on.
That's awesome.
And. You know, I mean,
but just like that asshole that I was talking about in the bar.
But what they
they're going to tear down.
But here's the thing: a guy like that, I'm sure that he can. If you dig and you dig and you dig, I'm sure that someone in Black Lives Matter probably has checked out books on communism or something like that, or you know, looks at it and says, you know, I guarantee you, there's someone out there that can. This guy can say this one person, a very anecdotal type thing. This one person. Has their if you listen to the way they speak, they talked about Marxism or something along those lines, and so this one represents the whole group, and I can tie the rest of them to him, and so that's how it works, right? And
like you said before,
and then you get and this is the picture that you get, right? Like for those, what the fuck is that, right?
For those listening, like, it's all not right, it's yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, that's
it's like a jack o' lantern with a penis.
I see a rabbit. Right. I see a blue dress.
I get it. I get it.
All
keep
right,
going.
Good. All right. Anyway, no, you've convinced me that my theory is flawed. I think it is more victim, feeling like a victim, and
I mean, you're right. There are a lot of followers, and that's scary. But It's not people that they're not
led followers.
They're easily led followers. And that part, that's where you're right. But the other problem with that, like, so you don't have a lot of critical thinkers. You have a lot of people that are easily manipulated who think that they're thinking critically because they will critically think about the facts that are given them only to a certain depth. Right, like they refuse to dig into it and break it out.
And what's the first thing they say when you say, "How about this?"
Right, fake news.
Fake news. The president said it.
Right, like, so I mean, that's where you have to. I mean, unfortunately, that's where we're at. And so I get where you were trying to go, but I think it's just
again, no. I mean, just, I still stand by the idea that these people don't really see the big picture or think the big issue through.
And I'll agree with you there.
But you're probably right. They're not, hey, this is fun, let's go get laid. It is, you know, the government's taking this away from us and we're going to have to fight it back. I just, what really made me think about it was when they were marching down the streets chanting blood and soil. I'm like, you don't know where that comes from.
Well, and I think they do. What I will argue is that You probably had a number of people who just thought it was a catchy little thing. But listen, when you've got white supremacists, Nazis, like they didn't just pull that chant out of nowhere, right? Somebody knew the significance of that chant. Somebody spread it out there and it caught on and they said it, right? I mean, it's just like no justice, no peace. You know what I mean?
Right.
That chant's been around for, you know, 70 years, you know, maybe even longer.
I guess,
but people
that's a complete thought. Whereas blood and soil is like, okay, where I truly don't know. I know it was a Nazi thing. I frankly don't know. I presume it meant something about reclaiming lands that Germany thought was theirs, but I don't know.
Right, right.
And it's, I'm just trying to prove that I wasn't at that rally. And,
okay. No, you were here. I know. I think we were actually recording during it.
You know what? I think you're right.
Anyway,
pretty good,
so,
pretty solid
so
alibi on my
moving away from all that,
okay,
white supremacists, Nazis, all that stuff, you have a police officer in Cobb County, Georgia, who was recently fired because a video surfaced of him pulling a woman over. She was white. For OVI, he was asking her to move her hands. She refused to move her hands. I think he was asking her to get her license and registration. She refused to take her hands off the steering wheel, you know, saying like, hey, I mean, I've seen the videos lately. And the cop replies, well, you know, we only shoot black people, right? And you're not black, so you're good.
No worries.
And the woman kind of is like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, I guess you're right. Okay, whatever. The video leaks out. Obviously, people on the left, outraged, guy gets fired. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a little scary that you can get fired for saying something, but not for actually doing the thing that he said. So we've had cops that shot black people and shot unarmed black people and kept their jobs, and now saying it. Certainly unprofessional.
Should he have been fired?
Let me put it this way. I have no problem with him getting fired, but I would also say that, should he have been fired based on the video coming out and what that does to the level of the ability for the police to do their jobs? Yes.
Okay.
You?
Yeah.
Should have
been fired. Had to be fired. I get it. It was sarcasm. I get it. Right. It was a joke. I get it. He was trying to get the woman to comply. She was, you know, she sounded a little, probably, you know, I get it. But again, what do we say about saying stupid shit? There's consequences for it.
Especially when we also say that when you have a gun and a badge and the ability to take someone's freedom based on your judgment, you have to be held to a higher standard.
You have to be held to, right.
I mean, we both say the same thing, right? I mean, I've said at times, you know, we've said stuff on our show and in person, like, you know, I did this, but, well, I'm white, so I wasn't worried about it.
I haven't said that.
I've heard it on the Alan Cox Show a bunch of times. I've said, come on, I'm sure.
I get what you're saying, but the point of the matter is, citizens. The main point, he's a police officer.
Yes.
The most important thing, he has a badge and a gun.
Yes.
He has the ability to take away freedom. He has the ability to take away life. The badge and the gun give him the ability to do those things. He has to be held at a higher standard.
Yes.
So he doesn't get to use sarcasm to make an arrest. He doesn't get to use sarcasm that involves taking the life of a specific group of people because of the way that they look. I'm sorry.
You don't get to
make that joke as a police officer. I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying in general. Right? You don't get to make that joke and then keep your job. I'm sorry, you don't. I need you as a 20 or 30 year vet to have better fucking judgment. And if you can't have better judgment doing something with that simple, just to not say that statement, then now I can't trust you in situations that I really need you to have good judgment.
And from an administrative perspective, being, you know, completely calculating, when you say that and it gets out, now all the guys with you, all the guys trying to do their jobs, are now, whenever they have to go into a situation where they pull over a black motorist, and that black motorist said, gee, a guy dressed like you, doing the same job as you, said, don't worry, we only shoot black people.
And you want me to believe that I'm safe and that he was only joking.
Right.
Right? Convince me.
Or that he was the exception to the rule, and I'm...
Right. Yeah. Either way, I'm telling you, you got to convince me. I don't believe shit. You know, I don't believe shit that's coming out of your mouth that was just him telling a joke. You know, and then how do you deal with that? Because chances are that then pisses off the officer. Situation escalates because we have yet to see these guys de-escalate. Well, no, that's not true.
That's not fair.
I've seen a lot of videos of police officers de-escalating situations, going as far as just playing basketball with kids or whatever. So I'm not going to go that far.
This is where you need to bat 1,000, though. De-escalation needs to be...
I mean, like, this is where now, all of a sudden, that police officer made his other fellow officers' jobs harder because of what he said.
No matter whether
you agree with this statement or not, you just have to be able to look at the situation and say, I'm sorry, but that, you're fired. You made all of our jobs harder. We have to regain public trust, right? Because, listen... That white person shouldn't feel comfortable saying that, like, oh, well, I'm white, I'm safe. Because here's the thing. It says, oh, we only shoot black people. For now.
Well, but...
Insane person, we only shoot the blacks for now. But if white women start to piss us off, you could be next. So I suggest you cooperate.
Well,
and what did Mike Wood tell us, right? Mike Wood told us a long time ago... he told us, I think the last time he was with us, that he was like, listen, this whole idea that, you know, police don't have the right to shoot you is a complete misconception.
That was definitely last time we talked.
You know, I mean, it is a complete misconception. So this whole idea, I mean, that they only shoot black people, that's just what we see. But the numbers actually bear out that they shoot a whole lot of white people, too.
Well, and this is, let me try to do an equivalent that is away from race and whatever. I have a right to say my boss is a douchebag. But if I say that in the office and it gets put over, you know, I wouldn't trust my boss. I think he's a complete douchebag. I couldn't trust that guy to tie his own fucking shoes. I'm fired. Because I just completely violated the trust of my job and of my chain of command. And again, I'm not saying that those are equivalent things in terms of their social importance, but there's an example of, there are certain things that because of the title or because of the role of your job, if you say them, you can't have that job anymore.
Right. Or, I mean, what if that woman was black and, you know, the woman was scared and he said something along the lines of, oh, don't worry, we only rape pretty white women. You're not in at risk.
Yikes. You know? Yeah.
Or something along those lines, right? I mean, it just...
Yeah.
Like, no, there's plenty of shit out there where... You got to go, officer. I don't care how. Like, the problem is, you've been an officer for 30 years, right? Like, and they're just like, oh, he's the best. He's been on the force for 30 years. Like, he's been on the force for 30 years, and he can't make a better choice of words? If you're telling me he's the best, then we got a problem.
Yep.
We need to reevaluate the level of...
The training,
right, like, everything, again.
I agree. That was the only reasonable action, was to say... You can't. I was going to do the argument of you give him the wooden gun and stick him in the office, but no.
You got to fire him. And you know what? It sucks. It absolutely sucks that guy's got to get fired. But at the same time, because I probably believe that he was a good guy. I probably believe that he was being sarcastic. But at the same time, like, you can't, like, you can't have those lapses. Right. And here's the deal. There's a lot of people who with a lot less on the line, you got a badge and a gun, you hold people's lives on the line every time you come in, you come in contact with a citizen, right? There are people who have a whole hell of a lot less on their shoulders, who get a lot less rope and a lot less string to fuck up, right? Like, I mean, like, you I mean, and there are people who are like, you know, you're an engineer. I work in real estate development. I say something stupid, and I end up costing us a job that's worth, you know, a few million dollars. Then I could get fired, right? This guy's got a fucking, he's got people, human lives on the line,
right?
Right, like, so I'm sorry, like, you can't get to say stupid shit.
And his performance or his decision to say that impacts not only him and his job, but everyone around him.
Exactly.
Now was impacted
absolutely
adversely. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. There's, I was digging around for some gray area there, but no, fuck it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's the problem, is that a lot of people want there to be gray area, and they go to sarcasm, freedom of speech, and everything else. And we say it, it's almost weekly on this show. Freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences.
Correct.
Right. And this is the consequence.
I don't think you should be arrested for what he said.
And there are people out there, snowflake. You know what? Here's my deal with people who like to use the word snowflake. Come say the shit to my face. Come call me a snowflake to my face, all right? And if you can come to my face and call me a snowflake with that snarky attitude, with that shit-eating grin on your face that you do when you type it in on the interwebs and the Googles, right? And you lick, and you put it in the comments section. If you can get as shitty with me in person as you do on the internet, and you are prepared to pay the price for your stupidity, then fine, so be it, right? But that, since I know that you're not, 99% of you are not, shut the fuck up.
And the might makes right thing bothers me, but the reality is, back to your point earlier, that the internet and social media throws flame.
Listen, all I'm saying is, Have that conversation with my face. And I mean, did I say? Just say it to my face. If you're going to say it to my face, and the reason
the implication was that you'll get crushed.
Maybe that's how you took it, but the implication is that, like, and maybe you will get crushed, but I'm pretty sure if you're willing to call me a snowflake on it, I can crush you intellectually. Right? We can have this conversation, I can crush you intellectually.
And before
I ever have to throw a fist.
And
that's my point.
Like, okay.
On the internet, like, you can block someone and whatever, but all of a sudden, when we're face-to-face in the same room, you can't run, you can't escape.
And the, back to your earlier point is...
Or I can crush you. I don't give a fuck either way, actually.
I think the implication was there. I don't think it was...
Listen, I had a rough fucking day. I'm in the mood.
And the whiskey's flowing. But no, seriously, though, the anonymity and the it's so easy to hide behind
everybody's
the internet.
Everybody's tough on the internet.
Yep.
Everybody's tough. Men, yep. Women, never thrown a punch in your life. You're the toughest guy you fucking know. Okay.
Shall we wrap it up on that?
No, I want to get this in only because the way we release, I know we're at an hour, but shut up. I want to talk about Zeke Elliott again. We talked about him on the last show. I want to get this in now because of the way we release. So we talked about him last time. He was suspended for 6 games for domestic violence, which we take domestic violence very seriously on this show and in general. The issue here is that, you know, the victim,
the accuser,
or the accuser, there's some legitimate concerns about her credibility. And, you know, the NFL came down and they suspended Zeke for 6 games. And what we come to find out is the lead investigator on this case for the NFL interviewed the accuser up to, I believe, 6 times. Right. She interviewed the investigator was a woman. She interviewed her 6 times and came back with the suggestion that Zeke Elliott shouldn't have been suspended at all. Right. She came back with 0 games for a suspension. That information never made it to Roger Goodell, the people who were making the decision. The investigator, her notes, her interview, none of that was brought into the, you know, analysis of evidence when they were making the decision. Roger Goodell never even talked to her, never knew Roger Goodell never even knew that this particular investigator had even spoke with the accuser, right?
Okay.
So, but then someone else makes the suggestion that, hey, we need to hammer this guy, and so we need to suspend him for 6 games. Roger Goodell says, oh, okay, great, do it. Sounds good to me.
Because Roger Goodell does like to look like he's tough. So if you look at his history of these sorts of things, he really fucked up with the Ray Rice case, right? Didn't he suspend him for 1 game initially? And then the video comes out of Ray Rice cold cocking his now wife and suspended him, I think, for a season after that. I think it was right. But he suspended Greg Hardy. I just Googled this. Greg Hardy was suspended for 4 games. Now, Greg Hardy was accused of some pretty grotesque stuff. Mm-hmm. Strangling a woman, throwing her up.
No. He was found guilty of it, but then he appealed.
Okay.
And because he appealed, that nullified the conviction, and then the witness or the victim slash accuser disappeared.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I mean, so pretty fucking ugly stuff.
Right.
That got 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's coming after Zeke Elliott says Roger Goodell just hasn't. I think he's been pretty vilified by a lot of people. Now, he's getting vilified by a lot of people because he's maintaining a brand of a multi-billion-dollar organization that pays him a mere $44 cartel. Million dollars a year.
A multi-billion-dollar cartel, but yeah.
Cartel, okay. That we're both fans of. I mean,
I love it.
Yep. Yeah. NFL season, by the time we talk again, the NFL will have started, and we'll be talking about that before we get on the air.
Fair.
And I mean,
but to the broader point, I think with this particular case and Zeke Elliott, the thing is that there's a couple arguments here, right? Like that the process one isn't fair, that one it's arbitrary, and you know, looking at the way this goes down, it just doesn't make sense that you would not include the lead investigator, you wouldn't include her analysis of the situation and take that into consideration. And the other problem is that if this accuser is that
like, impeachable,
right? And she's not that credible, then what she does is damage the future victims of domestic violence in these sort of situations.
Right.
And now it's
right.
Like, now we have to look at them and give them additional scrutiny to say, are you credible? What's the veracity of your claim?
And one thing that we didn't say in this show, but I think you said in the previous one that I've also heard is, she apparently was like documented as having threatened to Zeke Elliott, like, if you do this, I will ruin your career.
Right.
Now we don't know the context, but if it was,
if you break up with me, I will
ruin
your
career.
If you break up with me, I will ruin your career.
You know,
and the witnesses, her friends, right? Her friends are the witnesses that were interviewed in the case saying, this is what she said and this is what she's done. You can actually go and pull the entire, it's all public record, actually. You can go and find it. I think Black Sports Online has it. You can go to, there was a link through NFL.com where it's now down now. But it was through NFL.com to the Dallas Cowboy website.
Okay.
But it's down now, but you can still find the various testimonies out there. And it's ugly for the NFL because it looks like you have an accuser who was lying.
Right.
And who definitely made it look like she tried to set him up. And now that hurts future victims. It obviously has an impact to Ezekiel Elliott, and it hurts the credibility of the NFL because it's like you guys aren't even paying attention to what's going on. You hear the words domestic violence, and you are automatically going to suspension.
And how much do you think of this? How much do you think the desire of Goodell to really throw the hammer down was in Ezekiel Elliott? You have a star player, a big name who's also young, who doesn't have the, length of time in the league, and if you want to show, okay, you young guys coming in,
I think all of it is there. I don't know how. I mean, a lot of people are going to the Goodell didn't have a lot to do with it. It was other people. The problem they have with that is that the main other person who suggested 6 games for Ezekiel Elliott is a Giants fan. So in division with the Cowboys, she's a massive Giants fan. Her basement has been documented on like NFL films. It has all sorts of Giants gear. It's basically a shrine to the Giants. So she's the person making the decision. So now it looks like you have a Giants fan who's saying, oh, the Cowboys, who are in our division, have an ability to lose their star, and I'm going to go ahead and make sure we maximize that, right? Because I'm pretty sure the Cowboys and the Giants play early in the season.
They do.
and it's within the first six games. So that in and of itself hurts your process, right? The fact that she's even, you know, if you know,
I mean,
she's,
you can't have people who are responsible for that sort of thing have that kind of
allegiance to a team.
No, you can't.
Like, well-known allegiance to a team.
I mean, if you told me that Tom Brady may have beat up Giselle, and I say, can we suspend Tom Brady for six games? But can they be the final six games of the season? Because the Bills get... I'd do it.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the other point. So that's why a lot of this looks ugly, looks bad for the Shield, looks bad for the NFL, and they have an issue on their hands, and they, the arbitrator, who is allegedly independent, right, has to look at all of this, right, because the NFLPA, the Players Association, you know, they're the union representing Zeke Elliott, they were able to get this in and show it to the independent arbitrator. And so now that person has to look at this and say, all right, NFL pays my salary. Do I go against the Shield or do I do what's right? Because the other aspect of this is that people are going to legal precedent and suing and everything else. Guess what? Doesn't matter. This isn't a legal case. That doesn't matter. You know how we know? Because Tom Brady sued to high hell, you know, over Deflategate. And guess what the court came back and said? NFL has the authority and the discretion to discipline their players as they choose because the players signed a collective bargaining agreement, right, allowing this to be. So the court, the actual legal court system, has no control over this. So you can get as upset about this as you want, and you can sue and blah, 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 blah. The precedent has already been set. So this isn't illegal. This isn't lawyers anymore, right? This is just putting a case in front of an independent arbitrator and hoping that that person makes the right decision, right? You can be as upset about it as you want, and we can all call it fair. It's not fair, right? Like, I mean, they made a decision, so it's not fair. Now it's up to an arbitrator to make a decision, and if that decision goes against Ezekiel Elliott, the NFL Players Association says that they're going to sue, and I'm telling you right now that they're going to lose.
Well, we've seen it play out.
Right, we've seen it play out. We've seen it play out multiple times.
All right. Are you good now?
I'm good. Let's get this last thing in, because it's not enough to do another show. I need to go.
Okay. All right. You're not in the mood?
Yeah, well, no, I need to go.
It's like, so, okay. All right. So just real quick, NFL season's coming up, and the We'll talk the NFL at length once the season starts. But if you listen to us in the past, you've heard us talk about the Cleveland Browns had 12 players kneel during the national anthem. And we've sort of, you know, both you immediately and me coming around have said, you know what, these protests are an expression of freedom of speech and they're bringing attention to a real cause. If you don't like the way that it's being done, you have a right to be upset about it. But you can't deny that it is a peaceful protest that hurts no one. So the Cleveland police have decided to chime in on how they feel about it. And they've essentially... Can you paint this?
Steve Loomis, who's the head of the police union in Cleveland, has said that the police are not going to be a part of the flag ceremony prior to the opening game of the Browns versus the Steelers in Cleveland because it's to protest the players protesting during preseason.
Now, so their complaint is that you're disrespecting the flag, and the flag is what we represent as the military and the police because somehow those things are connected, even though I don't know why that holds up logically. Well, the military part I get, but anyway. So, because you're doing something we don't like, we are going to...
They did it. And by the way, they only did it for one game.
Right.
And then after that...
And it was a preseason game.
It was a preseason game. Jim Brown came and said, everybody stand. So, okay, everybody's standing now. And now the police are coming out and saying, you know, because you did that, we'll show you. We're not going to be there for the opening ceremony.
We're going to take our ball and go home, basically.
Yep.
Well, it's good to know that we have mature, responsible, logical people making decisions on behalf of the police union in Cleveland.
Yep.
Listen,
it's Steve. It's Steve.
It does feel like that. Doesn't it feel like a kid goes, oh, I'll show you.
It's Steve Loomis. He obviously is a blowhard. He likes attention. He's a big Trump supporter. He is a guy who, I don't know, is pretty comfortable with certain things happening to certain people, and can justify those actions any day of the week. You know, I mean, defended his, you know, is the same man who said that he's going to, the officers who were let go for the Tamir Rice shooting, who, you know, the one officer was let go because, you know, he essentially lied on his application. He wasn't let go because of the shooting of a 12-year-old kid with a toy. No, he was let go because he lied on his application. Steve Lemus said, I'm going to get that guy his job back. Right? Like, so that's the guy that you're dealing with here. This isn't a surprise. This isn't a shock. And frankly, if you're upset about flag protests, then you better be upset about this, right? Your police, remember, they're the police officers that you, as supporters of all things flag, all of a sudden, you get your panties in a bunch. If anyone disrespects the flag, you're going to tell me that the police officers who protect and serve and the blue line and Blue Lives Matter and all other shit, these guys are going to step away and not do that thing that you demand that everybody does. Right?
That's how it sounds.
So I suspect that that game is September 10th. I'll be there, by the way. Can't wait. In support of the Steelers. In support of the Steelers. But... on September 10th, when that shit kicks off, there better be all sorts of fucking furious social media posts about how the police opted not to be involved with the flag, right?
Should there? Yes. Will there?
Shouldn't there?
No. Absolutely. Oh, okay. There won't be. You know that. Okay. You know, well, you know what? There will be, but not from the people who complained about the Black Lives Matter protest.
Now, here's the thing. Now, the people on the left are going to get their panties in the bunch, right? It's just like, oh my God, you get shut up. Just, this is one you can just, if you just sit out, leave it be.
What I would, I mean, again, this is where, forget whether or not you like the kneeling during the anthem choice of how to protest. Is the issue that they're protesting, which is police practices inside inner cities, in poor neighborhoods that are largely Black, different than it is for the rest of society? If you believe that that's the case, which I don't know how you could not, and if you don't see why that needs to change, and I don't know how you can't, then by all means, keep up your anger. But if you know, if you open your fucking eyes and realize that the issue that's being protested by Colin Kaepernick, by these guys, I don't care how much money they make, I don't care how much this doesn't affect you now because you live in a gated community. If I want to stand up for the rights of someone who's being oppressed, even if it's not me or a group that I'm part of a demographic, that doesn't mean that the protest or that anger isn't justified. So let's focus on the real issue, get these things resolved in our communities. And we need to, on our show, Steve, we need to come up with some suggestions. And we've brought up the Mike Wood model, but I'm thinking like...
Suggestions for what?
For what the communities and the policing practices can do to make it better, like in the short run.
Okay, we've done this before.
We've talked about it before.
I've talked about it at length on this show, you know, on our old show. So we can reintroduce those ideas, you know, to Whiskey Congress from, you know, Steve and Jim Fix the World. Absolutely. You know, we can do that on the next show that we do. We just talk about different ways that the police can interact with communities, especially inner city urban areas, to make this situation better. We can also talk about the way that the people in those areas can help their own situation. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of thoughts on that because a lot of this, there are a lot of self-inflicted wounds in urban cities and in inner city areas. You know, this is where I lose a lot of progressives and people who say, no, it's all white people and police, man. It's all them. And yeah, maybe it is, but at some point in time, as a people, nope. You do it, I'll stab you in the heart with this pen.
You see, this is where violence is not helping the problem, Steve.
So,
just because you have to drink Smirnoff Ice now, so
you can, still, look internally, look inside yourself, look at the decisions that you're making, and make better decisions, and help yourself. That matters. That's important. And you should want to. And I think there's a lot of there's a number of different things that, that inner city urban communities can do amongst themselves to help their own situation, to help create a better bond between them and police, and to help create better a better living situation, you know, that, that will lead to better positive things
right.
overall in those communities. I strongly believe that. And that's why I am involved in some of the things I'm involved in, to help kind of spread that. Like, I'm not just talking about it in theory on this show. It's shit that I actually involve myself in because I believe in it. So, you know, that being said, let's bring that up on the next show. Let's definitely not forget it. So write it down somewhere, put
right.
a note, pocket, Slack, something like that.
And if you're out there listening, you want to tweet some ideas at us or email us, you can email me at jim@whiskeycongress.com or steve@whiskeycongress.com.
You could find us on Twitter at Whiskey Congress. You could find us on Instagram at Whiskey Congress, facebook.com/whiskeycongress, youtube.com/whiskeycongress.
And
you know,
and if you're listening,
it simple, folks.
If you're listening to this, you know how to find us. Please give us a rating and some comments. We appreciate it. And let's wrap it up, man.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Out.